Good morning. I am not preaching today, but I am going to open up for the preacher to help him save his voice. He has got a little throat problem going on there. Welcome, and I'd like to welcome everybody to church today. And if you will, get your white hymnal and turn to page 131 and sing loudly. We'll start off with a congregation song. Have any prayer requests? Of course, we need to remember our preacher, Lord, and the Lord will bless his voice today and be with Sister Sandra. Also, she has a shingle she found out on Friday, and if you've ever had those, you know she needs prayer. Any other prayer request? Okay, an unspoken request.
Also, remember Jimmy and Kathleen Ham. They had their baby this morning, about 2:20. Little girl, Helena Kathleen Ham. She was 5 pounds 2 ounces. Everybody's doing well. She's about 7 weeks early.
Okay, remember her.
Continue to remember Mom. She did find out from the test that the tumor they did take out, all of it was cancerous, but out of the 11 lymph nodes, only had one with cancer. So she's still healing up, still draining quite a bit. So she goes back this week to see if they can take those out, and then she'll be getting an appointment with the oncologist. So just keep her in your prayers. Continue to pray for her. Remember all the lost. Just remember the church always.
Okay, remember all these requests, and continue to remember Buck Moxley or Alton Moxley and Mabel Black. Bless your heart. Nothing like moving.
Remember all the ones going to decorations today.
Yeah, I got several out for decorations and vacations and all that coming up the rest of the summer. Praise the Lord for the rain that we got last night.
Yes.
Parts of the county I know has had a lot of rain, but we hadn't in Piney Creek, and we're really, really blessed to get it last night. 0.75 inches, so good rain. Anything else? And remember John and Linda and all their family there at the beach for safe travel and a good time at the beach. Remember these requests. Remember all our young folks. A lot of evil out there that they see every day that we don't realize. Anything else? Remember Vacation Bible School coming up. If there's any more slots left, we strongly urge that they be filled. Anybody else? If not, with uplifted hand. Those who can and will, come on to the altar. Brother Darrell, you would lead us in prayer this morning, please. Okay, Darrell's going to get up here and lead us in a couple of songs.
All right, this is 260 in the white book.
260 in the white book. Everybody stand and sing loudly. Here we go.
Now we're on the same page.
When we walk with the Lord in the light.
Good, we'll do one more.
Yeah. Now, what's the number is Higher Ground.
319. Higher Ground.
Bye.
sunk. Higher ground. Now if our brother deacons will come and take up our offering for us, please. Brother Bob, you bless the offering, please. And a couple of announcements. Of course, remember Vacation Bible School coming up July 13th through the 18th. Yes. And also the church is going to be purchasing new tables for the fellowship hall. And if you are interested in any of the old tables, we are going to let those go for $20 a table. And it will be a limit of two per family. And if you're interested, just get with us when we get the tables back. And we're going to put those names in a hat. Draw your name out. First name out gets to go pick out their two tables and give us the money. And any other announcements?
Singing tonight, 6 o'clock.
Singing tonight at 6 o'clock. And while I've got a chance up here, I'm going to plug Sunday school. If you're not coming to Sunday school, you are missing a real blessing.
Amen.
To get up on that higher ground, we need to be in Sunday school as long as we are in church. So if you can make it to church, you can make it to Sunday school. So that's my bit. Stand up and welcome everybody else to church. Okay, if you'll start making your way back to your seats, we'll start out with our special singing. For our special singing, it's going to be Daryl and Jamie. So I'm sure we'll receive a great blessing out of this.
We'll see.
Y'all pray for us. Hadn't done this in a very long time.
Long time.
This song is about... It's Jesus talking about he's being by our side. Being by our side, you know, he'll be as close by our side as we'll let him.
That's right.
So he's, y'all, you know, as we draw closer, the closer he is. But he is by our side. So. I'm going to try this here. You're good.
Give you life, 'cause I'll be by your side.
Anybody else with a song on your heart or a word of testimony or anything before we start?
All right.
It's all yours, preacher.
Appreciate Brother Allen opening for us this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Pray for us that we'll be able to do this for the Lord this morning, not for ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Remember Butch, he's having a little heart problem there. He said it was just with his age, he thought. And I thought to myself, maybe Constance just making his heart go pitter-patter still. Anyway, just keep him in your prayers also. Thank the Lord, like Melissa said, for answered prayers. We've had many this week. Thank God for them and God working. And whenever he opens the door, it might just be a little bit. But when God opens the door, take the initiative to go through that door. God's give you that opportunity to step through because you never know what it'll do. And I thank God for those opportunities and just recognize them and taking the chances to step out and do for God. And God working, bringing hearts together. And it's just a great and glorious thing that God can do for us. And we just thank God that he's allowed us to be in his house this morning. We had some rain there at the house last night. We'd been kind of slack on getting rain also. But the other day I decided, well, I've been praying for rain, but I ain't even put my rain gauge out. So I'm going to go find that rain gauge and put it out so I can measure it when it starts raining. And I believe that was on Friday evening. And then it rained last night an inch and a half there at the house there on Grandview Drive. So I thank God that when we make preparation, that God is already in the works providing the blessing and we need to be ready to receive them. I hadn't made preparation yet to receive all the blessing to know what God was going to send us. I know he could send it anyway, but I still hadn't prepared fully to receive all the power of God and the prayer that I was praying. But I thank God when he came along, he answered right on time. And this morning, as we get into God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God." Thank God, God still has the power this morning. Whenever we cause problems or have misunderstandings, thank God he is still there to be able to bind hearts and bring them back together. That the preaching of Jesus Christ of the cross was foolishness to those that perish. Thank God for those that have listened and heard the word of God and received the power from the cross of God, from the throne room of God, and from the altar of God where God, Jesus put his blood upon the mercy seat. Thank God that we still have the power of God and it's still real today and it will still come down and touch lives. It will still come down and save lives if we'll pray earnestly and seek his face. Thank God he's already working on both sides to bring amends to everything that's going on in this world today. I don't know about you, but I'm about sick and tired of hearing that Christians ought to be still and let all these other religions have a voice. Let me tell you, we have power through God, and it's about time we claim the power once again and use it in America to regain America back to God. It's time for us to get down on our knees and continue to preach the foolishness that those that are perishing are turning a deaf ear to. Thank God for those that are willing to receive it. You know, there's about 71% of America that are unchurched that are just waiting for an invitation from you and from me to come to church, just waiting for someone to share with them about Jesus Christ and open an invitation that they can come to the house of God. Well, you say, "Preacher, if they're that desperate or that much wanting to be invited, why don't they just come on in? Do you come inside my house if I ain't invited you in?" I hope not. I hope not, because you might find some dirt. Because if I'm cleaning that day, you might find some. But I'm telling you, we don't go in places we're not invited a lot of times. We don't break down the door to get in. But when God's opening the door, listen, he's give us the good news to share with other people to invite them to the house of God. And if we're living accordingly to God's word and we've got a Christian life that people can see, when we invite them, they're going to be more willing to hear what we've got to say maybe and come into the house of God and hear the preached word that's foolish to the lost and dying. It's going to hell and don't want to hear it. But let me tell you, there's some out there that's interested this morning, just want an opportunity to hear about the power of God. And he's still real today. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Let me tell you, I don't care how many degrees you got, if you ain't got no common sense to apply it, it don't do you a bit of good. You can be book smart and all these things and alienate people from the Word of God. We have alienated ourselves from God because we've got so smart we've left God behind and we don't need Him anymore. Let me tell you, in our wisdom we have become foolish because we have left the most important part out. We've left Jesus Christ. We've left the blood. We've left God the Father on the throne, and we have walked far away and we have denied the power of God. But we need to get back because He said He would destroy the wisdom of the wise. Let me tell you, I don't care how many degrees you've got, you're going to die and go to the grave just like anybody else. And let me tell you, I don't care if you say that I'm ignorant and unlearned and don't have a degree in this or a degree in that. Let me tell you, I'm going to die the same way you are. We're going to go to the grave, and the difference is going to be whether the blood's plied or not. I might be the wisest person you ever run across when it comes that time, because I have Jesus and I have everything. And I have the knowledge of all the universe that God has given me. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Let me tell you, some of the things they come up with that they're studying just blows my mind. The money that they're spending on these things, trying to figure out how this happens and how that happens and all these things. And it ain't going to help society in one bit. But they're spending time doing all these studies and researches on these things that just don't make no difference. Instead of trying to get the Word of God out, trying to tell people about Jesus Christ and His salvation. Where is the wise? Where's the wise today? If all the people that are claiming to be so great of human beings in this world were in the house of God today getting some real instruction from the Word of God and going out and doing the will of God, what a difference that would be. Where is the wise? Where are those that are prudent in mind that needs to be in the house of God learning about Jesus Christ and His goodness? They're not in His house this morning. It's foolishness to go to the house of God. Where is the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Do you believe all around you that there's demonic forces that are working against you this morning, and Satan and his army are mighty and they are trying to defeat you? He's trying to defeat me by jumping in here and squeezing my voice a little bit, but I ain't going to let him have the victory. I'll keep on if I get to squeaking like Jerry Mouse. I'm going to keep on preaching for God because Satan's not going to get no victory. The disputer of this world is Satan. He's coming against us every way that he can. He's the one that's come up with all this politically correct things that we can't say this and we can't say that and we can't do this and we can't do that. Let me tell you, the sinners are still sinners in God's eyes. It don't matter what color you paint them, whether it's black, white lies, whatever you want to put on it. Let me tell you, sin, sin, God said, and that's it. But the disputer of this world is trying to color it different colors. Say, oh, it's okay. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, there's times that they've been preaching, go on in the pulpit, and I've seen it. People get that boy, they say, "Woo, boy, that was a good message. Oh, boy, he was really preaching. He was a spitting out that white foam, and he was a jumping up and down and slapping the pulpit and all this." Well, what did he preach on? I don't know. Boy, it's good. If there's not a message in it, bodily exercise profiteth little. I might could slap his pulpit and break it in half. I don't think I can. If God said I could, I could. But he didn't say I had to be able to jump over it to be able to preach. He said just preach the word. He didn't say do it like Billy Graham. He didn't say do it like Billy Sunday. He didn't say do it like John Hagee or Charles Stanley or Joe Osteen or any of the other preachers that's out there. He said you just preach the word. And through that foolishness of preaching, I'll reach them. I'll get them. You just be obedient and preach the word. Preach the word for the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You can't save someone that won't believe. You can preach till you're blue in the face, till you're hoarse, and they're not going to listen. If they won't believe and trust Jesus Christ, they're not going to believe. Because that's what salvation is. It's not the preacher. The preacher is just a mouthpiece. And yes, he's fallible. He makes mistakes. So pray for your preacher. That he's always got a watch care over his lips. And the things that he says is the exact word of God. And when misunderstandings happen, they be worked out. And God can do it. for the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Singing is good and it's got its place. It's the plow that breaks the ground that when the seed of the Word of God is planted, it has a place to take root deep in your heart. There's no replacing the preaching of God's Word. You've got to have the preaching. It's got to be of God. Verse 22, it says, "For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom." We're still the same today. We want to know more. We want to know more. If we don't know something, we'll Google it. Well, let me tell you something. There's some questions out there Google ain't got the answer for, but God does. God's got the answer. We require signs. We look at, well, if this takes place this way, then this is supposed to happen. And God, I'll listen to you. I've said it before. I've done it before. Was I right in doing it? No, I shouldn't ask God to have to give me a sign for me just to trust Him. Just trust Him. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. There's people today that still don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was a good man that came and taught. He lived a good life. He was born to the Virgin Mary. And then they want to cast doubt on that ever taking place in the way that it did, the way God's Word tells us. They say he was a good man. He lived a good life and he taught good things and he was very lovable and he done all these miracles. But that's as far as we go with it. We don't believe he was the Son of God. We don't believe he done all these things. We sure don't believe that he died and rose again. Went and put his butt on the mercy seat there in God's throne room to pay a sin debt. We've got to do something about it. To get saved, you do. Trust Jesus. Trust Him with your whole being. What makes you who you are, that inward part, that inward man. And confess with your mouth salvation. It's that close. And it's nigh in your mouth. But He said that the Jews require a sign. And He said, but we preach Jesus, but we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block. There's still people stumbling at it today. There's Gentiles today that stumble at Jesus Christ. It's easier to believe some old garbage that's sent down the pike. It's got some good sounding terms to it and all this stuff than it is just believe that Jesus came, bled, and died across Calvary and gave you salvation full and free. A lot of people are believing a lie this morning and being damned because they're not trusting Jesus. And in the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. I thank God on my strongest day, I still ain't even scratched God on His weakest. It doesn't matter how advanced I get in knowing the Word of God, I'm still not going to know it all. But God does because He wrote the book. And thank God the best way I know to learn this book is to get in touch with the author and sit down and just listen to him explain it to you every once in a while. Just ask him to come in and expound to you the goodness of God and to show you the little nuggets of wisdom that he'll pour out to you if you're willing to listen. And you know, sometimes you may read and study it for a long time and then all of a sudden you read a passage and it just clicked what God meant by that and why he gave it to you. You know why? Because your heart was prepared. You was ready at the point in time and God knew that you could receive it. So he opens unto you from his word and gives you strength because God is wiser. And we thank God because of his foolishness of calling poor old boys like me that just love him, are willing to be obedient to him, that he pours out blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon me. I thank God for his blessings and for the health and the strength that he's given me. I thank him for the people that I come in contact with that are a blessing to me and lift me up and encourage me through this walk of life. And I pray that I can be an encouragement to someone else because through the foolishness of God, it is wiser than man. Wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than man. You thank God in the simplest thing that he made, the frailty of some of these animals and some of the organisms that's out here. It seems to be so frail, so delicate. Orchids and flowers and things that are so temperamental have to be taken care of just a certain way or they perish. How God made them and created them, and he treats us the same way, knowing that we need delicate times and in those times that we need a good rough pruning to get us back that we can be fruitful for him. But in it all, God loves us. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty not many noble are called. Why? Because a lot of times in their imagination of their thinking, they are higher than God. They can't humble themselves down. As we studied this past week, God Himself has to humble Himself down from His throne that is far above this universe to be able to see this earth and to be able to see the galaxies that's around us and the stars and the things that's out here on our plane, because God is so much farther above that, but He humbles Himself down to walk with us. He humbles Himself and brings Himself down out of His heaven to be your friend and be my friend and to walk with us through the Holy Spirit. God in His humbleness, the creator of all creation, creator of all great galaxies, it's both near and far. Thank God that God loves us so much that He takes an interest in each and one, from the smallest to the greatest, that He looks down and sees us all the same as being children of God. But not many in their wisdom of their flesh are called, because they don't accept God. It says there is no God. Not many mighty men, because they rely upon their strength and not the strength of God. Not many nobles are called, because they don't have time for God, because they're too busy in their society of keeping their positions. It says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. I'm glad that I'm just a small little speck of sand when God looks down from the heavens to the ground. But I thank God He knows my name. I thank God He knows where this little speck of sand's at and where it's been and where it's going. I thank God that He cared so much about me one day that He's let Jesus come to the cross of Calvary and die for this little speck of sand. Thank God that He numbered us in the sun. They say the stars that's in the sky are greater than the sands in the sea. Now, I don't know if that's true or how they ever calculated all that, but I thank God He knows them all by name. He's named every star that's hung in the heavens, and He knows every hair that's on my head and on your head. And the ones that, I tell you, what a great God that we serve and a mighty God that we serve. But through the foolishness, people are missing who God is, because they have wisdom but no knowledge and understanding. And base things of this world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things that are not, to bring to naught things that are. Thank God that we're going to be able to stand in holy places one day because of Jesus. We're going to be able to stand in the holiest of holies and be able to bow our faces to the ground and thank God for loving us and giving us Jesus Christ. We're going to be able to worship and praise Him and give Him praise forevermore, because He first loved us. Gave us an opportunity to enter into the throne room of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Gave me healing for my body through the stripes that Jesus took that day as He went to the cross of Calvary. Thank God He said, I love you. I gave my best for you. And I'm going to be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Thank God when this old mess is over, I'm going home to be with Jesus. Thank God He chose these simple things to confound the wise. And like I said before, I don't understand a lot of things and how they happen and how they work. But I thank God I don't have to sit in the dark till I figure it out. I can just thank Him because it's happening. Because He took care of it and has given us the blessings that He's poured out upon us. And I just thank God that the base things, those things that seem simple, are great in the eyes of God. And those things that are great in people's eyes, they're small in the eyes of God. But I thank God that He gave us Jesus, the greatest of all. There is no flesh should glory in His presence. That no flesh should glory in His presence. How many times we see people breaking their arms, trying to pat themselves on the back for their accomplishments? You ever hear their speeches? Well, I've done this, I've done that, I've accumulated this, and I've done this for the church, and I've done that for the church, and I've done this for my community, and I've done that for my family, and they got an eye problem. They need to get the eye out of the way and say, God has done all these things. And thank God He's allowed me to be part of it. I've never done anything outside of God except make mistakes. But thank God through Jesus Christ, He even clears up my mistakes that they can be a blessing. Thank God we'll listen to Him. And it says that no flesh should glory in His presence. Let me tell you, when we stand before God, we're not going to stand there with a swelled chest poked out and say, look what I done, God, for you down there on earth, and how much I done for you for the church. Thank God we're going to be bowed down before Him in His presence, giving Him the recognition that He deserves. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Redemption. If I got what I deserved, I would die and go to hell. Because when I was born into this world, I was born into sin. But thank God I didn't get what I deserved. Thank God that I got better than I ever deserved through Jesus Christ. Thank God I don't have to die and go to a devil's hell and burn for an eternity. Thank God I'm going to be in the joys of God. I'm going to be in a heavenly home that He's prepared for you and for me. And thank God through the power and the preaching of God's Word, I heard one day that Jesus loved me. And I love that little song that I sung here that Sunday to Olivia. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible told me so. I thank God He tells me every time I read His Word that Jesus loves me, that He died for me, and is still there arguing my cause and my case before God the Father whenever I go to Him and say, here I am, I've made a mistake. God, forgive me for it. Here I am, God, I need Your healing. Here I am, God, I just want to thank You. And Jesus is there listening to every one of the prayers and intervening accordingly. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. If we have Jesus and we have the wisdom of all the ages, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There's so many people today in glory in the church that they attend. They glory in the numbers that's on the board. They glory in the amount of money that they're able to take up. They glory in the outreach and the things that they're able to do because of that. But they forgot to glory in God. They forgot to give Him all the praise and honor for it. They've forgotten that it's what God has done and what God has brought together. A few years ago, we started out with a small number, and God has grown it and brought it together in a way that every member fits jointly together, that everyone is important. And that if any are out this morning, I don't know about you, but I miss those that's on vacation. I miss those that's gone to decoration. I wish they could be with us. I wish everybody could be here every Sunday and nobody ever have to miss. I miss my wife not being able to be with us this morning. I miss my granddaughter because she's teething and ain't slept in two or three nights. She's sleeping this morning. You know what it is. You don't wake a sleeping baby. You let them sleep. So she's sleeping this morning. So they're home with her and she's resting. So just pray. Pray for all the ones that's out, and when they come back, tell them that you missed them when they were gone. I miss Butch and Constance when they was gone, and Vernon and Beverly and Ron and Vera. We know Ron and Vera's case there. Every one of you, whenever you're gone, I miss you. I miss you being in the house of God. It gives me strength, and God gives us the wisdom to realize, hey, it's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's all about God. But together, we're stronger. We're stronger. We draw strength from one another. This morning I'm weak in body, but your prayers will give me strength that God would be able to use us this morning. But the power of God is foolishness to those that perish. And the preaching of His Word is foolishness. But let me tell you, there's still 70% that's waiting. They're waiting for you to say, hey, come go with me to church Sunday. There's something happening. God loves you. He's got a place for you. Will you come? Invite them. And let me tell you, if you invite 10 and you get one, great. That's a great outcome. You might invite 100 and get one. That's still a great outcome because that's one less than was out there that wasn't invited. Keep on inviting. Don't get weary in well-doing. Remember that people think it's foolish for you to be here this morning, but you know better because you have the wisdom. You have the sanctification. You have the righteousness of God, and you have the redemption that Jesus Christ came and brought. Tell someone else about it today. Invite them to the singing tonight. Come out and be with us to be part of it, to pray that God would use it to bless our hearts. Good singing will do you good. It'll help your heart. And laughter is a good medicine. Mom, when she had her surgery that day, now people say that some of us are kind of nutty when we get in situations like that, but I guess we laugh other than cry and get down and depressed. So we was telling jokes and we was carrying on there in her room. And we were back there probably for about an hour waiting on them to come and get her. And she told them, she says, you know, I usually have to have one of those shots that makes me not worry about these things. And one of them no-care shots, she said, I don't need anything today. I'm just doing really well and I'm ready to go just whenever y'all get ready for me to go. And she didn't have to have it. And the laughter does the heart good to be able to laugh. And laugh at ourselves because, boy, there's times I laugh at myself. Have to. But I thank God that He's there all the time, sees me. And He chose me as a vessel to share His Word. And thank God that He will take that vessel, even though it's a broken vessel. If I stay under the spout where His glory comes out, that vessel can stay full of His Spirit. And I thank God for that. I hope you do too. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this is a glorious time to become saved through the power and the prayer of God and through His blood, through Jesus Christ. If you'll receive His blood in your life, then God will save you. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you redemption. He'll give you sanctification. He'll give you justification. And He will forgive you of your sins and will adopt you into the family of God. That's how simple it is. And you see, when an adopted child can never be written out of the inheritance, it always has provision made. Always a provision made. And I'm an adopted child of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and He's made a way that I'll receive my heritage, that I'll receive my just rewards for the justification that come through His blood, that He loved me, that He saved me, that He died for me, that I wouldn't have to. This morning, let's get a song of invitation ready. Will you come? Will you receive Jesus as your Savior this morning? He's standing with arms outstretched, asking you to come and join His family. He wants to adopt you into the family of God and give you a heritage that you can be proud of. Be proud of some of the things that the Wootons have done in their past, and the Shaws and the Sykeses, and goes all the way down the line, some of the things they've done. Wasn't too proud of some of my family. But I thank God the heritage that I have through Jesus Christ, I can be proud of it all. All that Jesus has done for me, and I can be proud of everything. Everything that Jesus has ever done. He loves you this morning. He wants you to be saved. Will you come? Will you receive Jesus as we stand to our feet? All heads bowed, all eyes closed. No one looking across the congregation. Christians praying for the lost that they might be saved today. Will you come? Will you surrender to Jesus? Will you give up the things of this world and receive a life most precious? A life through Jesus Christ that will take you home to be in glory. That will take you and set you on a higher ground. Thank God there's higher ground than this. Thank God there's better ground than this. This earth is cursed with the curse of sin. But thank God the home that God's got prepared is blessed. No curse like this world knows. No sorrow, no pain, no suffering. And friend, all you have to do is ask Jesus to come in. He'll give you the keys to the kingdom that you may enter into God's domain. Will you come? Will you maybe lift your hand? Say, preacher, I'm lost. Pray for me. Pray for me that I'll be saved. Just simply trust Him. Will you lift that hand high if you're here this morning? Christian, maybe you got a need this morning. Bring it to the altar. Maybe you just got a prayer of thanksgiving you want to give to God. Maybe you got someone that's sick. Maybe you got someone that's burdened. It just needs a prayer this morning. Will you bring them? Will you come? Will you be obedient to God? He's standing and waiting. He wants to have a conversation with you this morning. Will you come? Will you come? People are stepping out. There's still plenty of time. Please come. Please come. If God's dealing with your heart, come. If you've got a prayer of thanksgiving, come. If you've got a need too big for you to handle, come. God said He'd meet you, because the ground is level at the foot of the cross. You may be seated where you are. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne of grace and mercy, thanking You for this day. We thank You for Your blessings that You've bestowed upon us this day, Lord. And ask, dear God, that You'd continue to bless this congregation this morning. We thank You for the foolishness of the preaching of the Word of God. And dear Heavenly Father, how it touched our heart one day and broke it up, dear God, that You was able to come in, dear Heavenly Father, and take out the old man and put in the new. God, I thank You for loving us and never forsaking us, going with us always. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for that 70, 71% that's out there, that's unchurched, that would love to be in Your house this morning, dear God. We know they have an opportunity. Lord, let us be the witness to them, dear God, that might bring them into Your house by inviting them. God, let them know that they've got an open door and an open invitation always to come. But, dear God, give us the opportunity to share it with them and invite them and not just assume that they know. Dear God, we thank You for Your precious Word and for its instruction, For the wisdom of God that is greater and wiser than all mankind. Even Solomon in all his wisdom, dear God, is not as smart as you. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your tender mercy that you bestow upon us. We thank you for answered prayers. Dear God, we thank you for bringing hearts, dear Heavenly Father, back together in understanding, Lord, in love. And dear God, we just thank you for your gracious mercy that you've bestowed upon each one of us. And for this beautiful day that you've given us, for the beautiful rain that's fell, God, and watered your earth once again, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the answered prayers. Dear God, of healing for bodies, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you just continue to touch all cancer patients, dear God, all heart patients, Lord, that you just reach down, dear Heavenly Father, and perform that only you can. For all these new babies that's being born, God, that you'd give them strength and wisdom and understanding as they grow, dear Heavenly Father, and their parents, Lord, that they would lead them, dear God, in the ways of the cross. Dear God, that they may grow in a strong foundation. Dear God, we pray for all churches throughout the land that are standing upon your word, dear God, and for those that are not, we pray for their return to the precious word of God, and for our precious country, Lord, that you've given us. God, we pray that you would humble her heart, come back to you in repentance, and be one nation under God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.